July 20th, Frederick Douglass. Welcome to 365 Christian Men, where every day we aim to inspire and encourage with real-life stories about men. Frederick Douglass was born into slavery, found a way out for himself, worked to free others, and then used his new position to work toward freedom for other groups of people. On this date in 1866, Douglass spoke at the first Women's Rights Convention.
Knowledge can be the pathway to freedom. Gain it. Use it. Born into slavery in 1818, Frederick Douglass was less than 10 years old when his master loaned him to the Aulds in Baltimore. When Mrs. Auld taught Frederick the alphabet, a new world opened to him. But when she showed her husband Frederick's new skill, Mr. Auld became enraged and said that knowledge would ruin a good slave. Douglass recalled, "Very well," thought I. "Knowledge unfits a child to be a slave." From that moment, I understood the direct pathway from slavery to freedom. Though Mrs. Auld punished Frederick if she caught him reading, when the Aulds weren't home, Frederick practiced. With a piece of biscuit, he bought spelling lessons from neighborhood boys. He also taught himself penmanship. At 13, he read The Columbian Orator, a collection of political essays and dialogues. I had now penetrated the secret of all slavery and oppression. Their true foundation was in the pride, the power, and the avarice of man. Freed from the lie that divine design made him a slave, Douglass reached out to God and kept trying to get more knowledge. He wrote, "Especially did I want a thorough acquaintance with the contents of the Bible." Mr. Auld eventually sent Douglass to work on the plantation, and there the boy used scripture to teach the other slaves to read. But when white men with whips drove the students apart, the class ended. Then Douglass was sent to a cruel taskmaster to be broken, abused physically and mentally, and he sometimes lost hope, but he never believed any man should be enslaved. His next master was more reasonable. As Douglass's wounds healed, he gained the strength to act on his knowledge. He lived the proverb, "Those who have knowledge muster their strength." Proverbs chapter 24, verse 5. He taught fellow slaves the virtues of learning, started a secret Sunday school, and soon had 40 pupils. He planned an escape, but someone tipped off the master. After a short imprisonment, Douglass was sent back to Baltimore, where he plotted another escape. This time, his plan worked. Now a free man, Douglass read The Liberator, an abolitionist newspaper. The abolitionist offered him a position as a traveling orator. As he grew in eloquence, audiences believed he was too well spoken to be a fugitive slave. In response, Douglass shared details of his life, but this made him vulnerable to capture. The abolitionist sent him to England, where he'd be safe. A rude, uncultivated fugitive slave was driven by stern necessity to that country to which young American gentlemen go to increase their stock of knowledge. The British press warmly received Douglass, and he enjoyed the company of English intellectuals. But duty drove him back to America. British friends purchased Frederick's freedom papers and gave him enough capital to start a printing press. American abolitionists tried to talk him out of it, but Douglass persevered, and he wrote, "The want of education, great as it was, could be overcome by study, and that knowledge would come by experience." What dream have you put on hold for lack of knowledge? Knowledge can be the pathway to freedom. Gain it. Use it.
Hey, 365 Christian Men. My name is Mike Mott, and we're coming to you from Jerusalem, Israel. You know, man, in our lives, we are going to be on the other side, the wrong side of injustice and unfair treatment several times in our lives. People are going to treat us poorly and say bad things about us and have very low value and esteem towards us. And these things are going to hurt us temporarily, but they don't determine who we are and what God has created us and designed us to do. And this is what we see in Frederick Douglass's story today. His own attitude about who he was and who God had created him to be determined where he went with his life and how his life was used. His own value, his own estimation of who he was, his attitude about who he was, how he lived, how he served, how he gave, and what he was able to offer to other people was the great determination. It was his attitude. Chuck Swindoll says it this way: the remarkable thing is that we have a choice every day regarding the attitude that we will embrace for that day. We can't change the past. We can't change what other people will do and how they will act. We can't even change the inevitable. The only thing that we can do, Chuck Swindoll says, is play on that one string that we have, and that's our attitude. He goes on to say that, I believe, I'm convinced that 10% of life is what happens to us, and 90% of our lives is how we determine how we're going to respond to those things that happen to us. Zig Ziglar says it this way: it's our attitude, not our aptitude, that determine our altitude. This is a great challenge for us today, men. What is my attitude about myself, who God has created me to be, the gifts that he's given to me? And how am I embracing those and living those out today, in spite of the injustices that might come my way, the bad things that might be said about me, the unfair treatment that might come into my life? See, men, our attitude is going to determine far more than what other people say about you or do to you, because God has given you and me the power through our attitude to determine how he fulfills his purposes, his calling, and his plans in our lives. As we embrace those things, those truths about who we are in God, then with that right attitude, then God is able to project us forward into the purposes and plans that he has for our lives. That's our challenge today, men. It's a great challenge. Have a great day.